Today we're continuing our Advent series of looking at angels. We've been looking at angels and how they can guide us in this time of preparing for celebrating Christmas, Christ's birth. And so we've been looking at angels, and of course when you hear angels, you think of, when someone says angels, especially around the Christmas season, you instantly think of that imagery of the heavenly choir. You know, around Christmas is the time where you'll see the most angels, you know, on top of trees and on banners all over the place. It's a heavenly time of year filled with angels and joyous procession. But any other time of year, if it wasn't Christmas, and you were asked someone what they thought about angels, probably the first thing that would come to their mind would be more of the idea of guardian angel. At Christmas, we think of the more of the joyous angel, but when everyday life, when people think of angels, I suspect the first thought would be that guardian angel mentality. And we hear lots of stories of people talking about how they had an angel who came and did something miraculous in their life, how God saved them through an angel. There's great inspiring stories of people who've been protected by guardian angels. The story of one woman talks about how she was driving along a icy road in the winter, and she got stuck. And so she got out of her car and was trying to, you know, get some traction under the tires. And so she was kind of at the side of her vehicle when a car came by. And that car slipped. And when she looked up, she saw the car coming straight at her. It was just going to hit her. There was nothing she could do. There was no time to move or get out of the way. And right before the car hit, she says she heard this noise, saw this light. And all of a sudden, she couldn't quite explain it. She said, it's like, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it's almost like the car went right through me. It's not like the car missed me. It's not possible. You could see where it hit my car, but somehow she was okay. And so she tells how, she says, a guardian angel came, protected me somehow. I don't know how I was saved that day. There's another story a young boy tells. He says when he was 7 years old, he had a five-year-old cousin who was really sick. And being young, his parents wouldn't tell him what was wrong. But years later, he found out that his cousin had cancer. His parents never told him that he had cancer. He didn't talk about him. Everything was so hush-hush. And he was devastated. No one would tell me where Chetty went. Whenever he went there for visits, he'd always want to go out and play with his cousin. So it was really hard for him not to know. And then he says, and I'll read in his words, after he died, I went to his house for a visit, and I was so lonely, I decided to go outside and swing. As I sat there remembering how it used to be, Chetty walked up to me and an angel was holding his hand. She had beautiful long blonde hair and was dressed in a long white gown. She never said a word, just smiled. But Chetty looked at me and said, I'm not in pain anymore. I'm okay. He and the angel turned and walked away. His guardian angel came to show him a picture of his cousin whom he loved. There's lots of stories. I'm sure you can find them online. Some of you might even have your own of these miraculous occurrences. Angels touching you in amazing ways. It's hard not to feel the hand of God when something like that happens. And in all these instances, there is that sense of someone was there with me. Something didn't just happen. I felt a presence. That's that idea of guardian angels. Now, of course, you know, these stories go around, and a lot of people are really skeptical. You know, they say, oh, that's just, it's just a combination of adrenaline and imagination coming together to give this, to give your mind an explanation for something you don't understand. Angels are a hard thing to explain, a hard thing to prove. It's always a story of one or two people feeling this presence. You can't measure it. But these stories still go on again and again. Whether you believe in angels or not, there is work being done by people, by things we don't understand. We know it to be angels. Other people say they just can't explain it. People think, I want to see an angel. I'd love to have that experience, that recognition of the power of God. But the thing is about angels and the times that they come is that recognize their purpose isn't to come to prove God. Their purpose isn't to show a crowd. An angel's not going to appear here just to go, look, see, God is real. An angel's here. Even in those stories, they're so hard to prove because the angel's not there to give proof. He's there to do the work of God. He's there for a purpose. An angel comes for that individual. Even in the Bible, numerous times, he comes to give a message to an individual, and then that individual goes to share. Angels are sent kind of for specific people. It's not meant to be something shared. And so I think that's part of why they become such isolated stories. They're inspiring, but it doesn't fit a whole crowd because that's not the nature of angels. That's a big part of how people view angels now, that guardian angels. But what about the Bible? What does the Bible say about angels, their role, when we look at it? And one of the key things to look at is, what about angels in the Old Testament versus angels in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, most times when an angel is spoken about, it is in regards to that giving a message. Angels, first and foremost, are known as messengers. You know, for Hagar, the angel came and said, what troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Jacob came, had angels come to him in his dream and speak to him. Numerous times when it speaks of angels, it speaks of them coming to give a message of rebuke to Israel, telling them of God's anger. Sometimes, though, there is stories of action where the angels come and perform a work. One of the things is the angels often come to give someone strength. Elijah was strengthened by an angel who brought him things to eat and drink. An angel often comes to save people, that guardian angel. We see that in the Old Testament as well. When an angel preserved the life of Daniel in the lion's den, he came and he done something miraculous, unhumanly, to save someone's life. But not all of the images of angels are pleasant ones in the Old Testament, though. During the time of the judges, it was an angel who cursed the people who were against God. The angel of the Lord was sent to kill a large number of the Assyrian army, who struck them down where they stood. That very night, the angel of the Lord set out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the morning dawned, they were all dead bodies. 2 Kings 19:35. Angels came to put the seven plagues upon Egypt. Some of the pictures of angels in the Old Testament are quite scary. That wrath of God image. God showing his anger through angels. But how about the New Testament? What does the New Testament say about angels? Well, in the New Testament, we have about 17 times it talks about angels. An angel appears to Zacharias to tell him that he will have a son to be named John. Of course, an angel comes to tell a virgin Mary who gave birth to the Savior. Joseph received images from angels. The angels appeared to the shepherds near Bethlehem. The angelic host came and ministered to Jesus after his temptation by the devils. There's even a story about an angel that would stir water in the pool of Bethesda from time to time. And then the first person to enter the pool after the angel stirred it would be healed of their diseases. God also sent an angel to Jesus to strengthen him before his suffering and death. Then an angel appears twice near Jesus' tomb, declaring that he's already risen from the dead. And then two angels declare to the disciples that right after he ascends to heaven that he will return to earth in the same way. You might see a pattern here for how the angels act in the New Testament. There's a lot in common with the Old Testament. There's a lot of talking about giving a message. There is some aspects of strengthening. But you might notice there's one thing lacking in the New Testament from the Old Testament in their portrayal of angels. Nowhere in the New Testament you start seeing this picture of that angel of fury and wrath striking down thousands of people, destroying cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels no longer have that violent side to them, or anger from God. The only exception to that being, of course, Revelations, which is filled with the angels fighting the demons. But once again, recognize that's a story of the future, of what's coming to pass. It's not about what's about the time period we're in now. All the stories of the angels nowadays, the angels have now become much more gentle, much more passive in a way. The predominant role is now mostly just that idea of giving a message, giving encouragement. Look at our scripture passage today. The classic Christmas time passage, the tale of Mary and Joseph, the three wise men coming to visit, having to run from Herod and stay in Egypt, and then having to go to Galilee to once again hide from people trying to kill Jesus. If you like the guardian angel stories that are like the ones I mentioned at the beginning, then you'll love this story because this is full of guardian angels. Indeed, even before Jesus was born, it was the work of an angel to make sure there was an earthly father on hand to care for him and his mother, making sure Joseph didn't leave. Every step of the way, this fragile child and his vulnerable parents were shielded by guardian angels. The escape to Egypt, the cue for the return, and even the decision to settle in distant Galilee were all coached and monitored by these guardian angels. This safeguarding of the infant Christ is far from insignificant. Though, of course, he was born to die, his time, even here, has not yet come. Yet Satan, working through a conscientious Joseph or a jealous Herod, right away when he is born, begins that attack on Jesus, attempting to castigate the Christ. Make him a socially outcast bastard by trying to get Joseph to leave. Or failing that, to reduce him to a lifeless corpse before he's even 2 years old. But the vigilant protection of Jesus, administered through the angels throughout the story of Christmas, reminds us that God's plan will never be thwarted. His purpose is never frustrated. Our salvation and his victory never jeopardized. It's a story filled with guardian angels. Guardian angels are a real thing, and I believe they're still at work today. But it's not always how we imagine guardian angels should work. We hear those amazing stories, but that's just a small element of how they work in our lives. Notice how the guardian angels in this passage, probably the greatest job any guardian angel could ever receive, go protect my son. And look at how they do that in this passage. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country, talking about the wise men here. They returned to their own country by another route. For God, through an angel, had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Then later, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. And then, once again, when Herod learned of this, when Joseph learned of Herod's death, Joseph headed home. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. All three times here, where the angels did their work of guarding Christ, they acted through a dream. They spoke to someone through a dream. I don't know about you, but if I had a really important message to get across, a dream isn't exactly the most trustworthy medium. Some of my dreams I know can be pretty crazy, and it'd be pretty hard for me to wake up and go, wow, that's going to really happen. I better listen to that dream and, change my whole life because of that dream. It'd be amazing. I've always wanted to fly. Had that dream, if that would happen. We instantly don't think of dreams as a source of anything but fantasies. And to think that's how the guardian angels chose to act out the protection of Jesus Christ. The much better ways they could have protected him. They could have appeared to Herod when he was threatening Jesus, warn him to leave him alone, or just strike him down to begin with, so that Joseph and Mary wouldn't have to run away. If they're really trying to protect Jesus, why not give him a stable childhood surrounded by his extended family instead of forcing them to run off to a foreign land away from everything they know to live life as a refugee? Not exactly the ideal circumstance to raise a child in. Why didn't they protect Jesus with that sort of power we read about in the Old Testament, striking down God's enemies, showing God's power? When you read about the angels' work in the Christmas season, we talk about angels, these amazing things, but really when you look at it, in this story, they really seem pretty passive, really. They don't seem like this all-powerful being that you expect. Why did they work in this way? Why did they protect Jesus from the sidelines? Why did they just give messages instead of showing God's power? What is it about this time that has caused this shift in how angels work? Because remember that this is just the beginning of the New Testament. We never see angels work that way again. And so that kind of gives us a clue that must be something about this that caused that shift in how angels are portrayed. What is it about this season, Christmas, the birth of Christ, that causes angels to all of a sudden become more gentle, more passive, more guiding, instead of the mighty hand and wrath of God that we read about in the Old Testament. And of course, I'm sure as you guys have all guessed, it is of course the reason is the same reason we have Christmas. What is it about this time of year that changed everything, including the angels? It's of course the birth of Jesus Christ. The Son of God has been born. God's plan has been put in action. And everything has changed from that moment on. The whole world is different. Not just the role of angels, but everything is affected by the birth. Everything is changed by Christmas. Because as it says in James 2:13, and this is a great, pretty much, if you have to summarize the act of the Bible in four words, I think this is a great summary. James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. That is what Christ's birth signifies. Mercy's triumph over judgment. Because of Christ's arrival, God's mercy becomes the guiding force, the guiding way God acts on earth, instead of his judgment that the angels were forced to carry out beforehand. God no longer needs to look on us in judgment. He no longer needs to punish us from sin. He's no longer separated from us. God doesn't need his angels to do all the work to show his power. Because through Jesus, he is now one of us. Because of Jesus, he partners with us. He wants us to be involved, to be active participants. He no longer judges us. He looks at us with mercy and love. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be about, right? Love and joy and mercy. The angels changed because of Christmas. They became more passive. But that's not because God doesn't want to work in the world anymore. God just changed how he was going to do it. God decided, I want you guys to play more of a role. I want you guys to be involved. And so the angels then became more of that guiding role. They nudged instead of pushed. They gave messages to Joseph in a dream and allowed Joseph to be the one to protect Jesus. The angels could have protected the baby. Instead, they allowed Joseph and Mary to do it. So in the end, it became an act of humanity that was protecting Christ. We became involved in Christ's protection at that age. They did what they could. They ran away. They couldn't fight Herod and the army, but they could run away. They gave dreams to the wise men. They gave dreams. They gave messages. They got us involved. Christmas was a key time where that changed. The whole way God related, the way God wanted us to get involved, he wanted us to be part of it. Christmas is, of course, a season where we talk about angels. We think about angels. We have the banners. We love the choir, the singing angels. But the truth is, what we need to think about when we think of angels, when we think of guardian angels, really is not that image of an angel, but that image of an angel. Because that's how God does most of the work now that we like to think an angel does. Sure, we still get those miraculous stories of people saved from fires or that woman who says she was saved by an angel from being hit by a car. God still acts those ways, but as I said, it's just a little bit. Most of the time now he works through us. We are God's guardian angels. When we think of angels, we should think of that element. And it's not a completely foreign one, because there are times where people talk about, oh, that guy, he stepped in and helped me. You know, I had a flat tire, and this guy appeared out of nowhere and fixed it for me. He was my guardian angel. And often we kind of dismiss that as talking dramatically. Oh, he's not really a guardian angel. He just helped you out when you needed. No, he was a guardian angel. Whenever we can do that act of stepping in and helping, when stepping in and being that hand of God, that of showing his mercy, triumphing over judgment, we are being God's guardian angels. Christmas is full of angels. We can see the beautiful images, listen to the beautiful songs. But never forget the biggest source of angels during Christmas, and it should be around the year, especially at Christmas, is all of us. You are all God's guardian angels. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we'd like to hear the stories of amazing acts of your angels working to save people when there's no hope, of your love and kindness shown through miraculous acts. They are inspiring, great showings of your power. But never let us forget the true work. The true angels are all of us here who say, Jesus, you are my Savior. I will follow you. I will pick up your flag. I will do your work. Lord, this Christmas season, help us to see the opportunities in our community, to our neighbors, to those in need. Help us to step out and be the angels of the Christmas season, to show your love, to show the truth of your mercy triumphing over judgment because of Christmas Day. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day as your servants, gathered to worship you and you alone. As we continue this Advent journey, help us to focus on you and the coming of your Son, Jesus, and the work he's in the process of doing here on earth. Amidst the commercials, the cooking, and the company, help us to remember the true meaning of this season, that you would come to us in the flesh and forever live among us. Even as we share the joy we find in you with one another, we are mindful of those for whom joy is hard to find, for those who don't have enough clothes, for those who don't have enough food, for those who don't have enough or any shelter, for those who don't have enough protection and justice, those who don't have enough love in their life. We confess that there really is enough for everyone. But it's our fault that the enough is hoarded by a few at the expense of many. Christmas can be a time of excess. Lord, help that excess be directed to those who truly need it. Help us to bear the good fruit, being mindful of those around us without during this season of giving. We pray this day for those longing for spiritual renewal. We would ask that your Holy Spirit invigorate us, that we may provide for others first before expecting them to provide for us. Lord, help us to proclaim the good news in word and deed, to be avenues of your work, to be guardian angels for you. We pray for those struggling with illness. Remember Tom's brother and his wife, as Martin and Tony, as Tony is undergoing treatment to have fluid removed from her lungs. She struggles with cancer and is not doing well. We pray for healing and strength for them. Oh, remember Hout, as he has his testing done for throat cancer. We pray that that can help doctors know how to move forward and help treat him. Remember Heidi's friend who is struggling with cancer, Melissa, as it seems to be spreading and the chemo doesn't seem to be working. We pray for healing for her, Lord. We also pray for Joe that he can feel better. Give him healing that he can be up and around again. Lord, we just pray that this truly be a season filled with hope for all people. Show us those places in our lives, in our community, where we can be that, where we can help bring your hope and light. We know it won't be easy. We know it might push us, it might hurt us even, but help us to move forward that way, Lord. Help us to trust in you. Help us to truly make this an amazing Christmas for everyone. Gracious God, we pray and thank you for your presence among us, your creation around us, and your providence within us. As we continue this blessed journey together, amen.